Welcome to Shift to Tomorrow. Now is the moment leaders throughout distribution must lift our eyes, look towards the horizon, and shift our lens from merely making it through this unprecedented uncertainty to coming out stronger on the other side. This is your moment. Are you ready? You can create your future. You own your tomorrow. And your journey of shifting to tomorrow begins now with your host, Dirk Beveridge.
Welcome to episode 15 of Shift to Tomorrow. I'm Dirk Beveridge, your host, and thank you for joining us today. I'm real excited to introduce you to my guest today, Carolyn Wright Bierth, who is the Senior Director of Field Marketing and Lead Generation with Infor. And Caroline is a marketer's marketer. And one of my premises throughout this COVID pandemic has been that customers are learning how to do business differently. And you and I, we must use this moment to reimagine, to rethink, and to reinvent how we approach, sell, and the overall customer experience. Now, the uncertainty and the change that your customers are experiencing, we believe it creates a new friction. Caroline's going to talk about this, that needs to be worked through in your sales and your marketing efforts. And this suggests, as Caroline is going to share with us, a need to relearn how to approach and how to sell to your customers. And in this conversation, you're going to get an MBA in marketing to rethink how you're approaching and selling to your customers as a result of COVID. And so without any further ado, enjoy and take a lot from my conversation with Caroline. Caroline is a Senior Director of Field Marketing Demand Generator for Infor, an amazing organization that I've gotten to know over the last 2 years. I got to tell you something. And I emailed Caroline. I'm going to be with some of your marketers, I think, on Tuesday. And so I had a prep call with them last week. And I got to tell you something. I said, I emailed you. I said, is everybody at Infor as nice as you and the others that I've been working with? I just absolutely love working with everybody at Infor, Caroline. Yeah, it's just great.
Thank you. We're so grateful for it. I love everything you're doing with these community events, and so happy we could be a part of it too. Thanks for having me on today.
You're super kind. No. All right. So real quick. So those of you that don't know Infor, they're a global leader in business cloud software products that's really specialized by industry, which is super cool. Wholesale distribution as an example of that. And they're trusted by over 68,000 companies worldwide. You know, Caroline, I'm trying to develop a recurring business model theme like that. So I got a lot to learn from you. But anyway, Caroline, you guys, her passion. Caroline helps companies take advantage of emerging technology capabilities and transform into modern digital businesses. And holy cow, is that timely today or what, right? And Caroline, I absolutely love your thinking. You talk about there's a new buzzword that's born every single day, but they all translate into what's new and what's next. And I think that ties into what we're talking about, Shift to Tomorrow, huh? So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. So let's start with my premise for this week, okay? My premise, as you saw, was our customers learning how to do business in different ways during this pandemic. We must use this moment to reimagine and reinvent the customer experience. So I'm going to ask you, do you agree with that? And everybody online, I just want to remind you throughout the day, if you have questions, put them in there. I'm going to try to monitor it, and I can ask them of Caroline as we go and everybody else. So Caroline, what do you think about that premise that I put out there?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it's... for me, it's even more than that. Coming from the marketer point of view, your customers, they're trying to figure out how to do everything differently right now. So no matter what you're delivering, I mean, our responsibility really becomes, how can I make their lives easier every day during any time, but especially right now?
Yeah, because everything, if we think our world is being disrupted, theirs is equally so, right? And being as close to that disruption, I guess, right? That the changes that they're experiencing, the fear maybe that they're experiencing, the better. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool.
And they're people, no matter what. I mean, and most of us, of course, are in the B2B market. But at the end of the day, your customers are people and they're all going through a lot. So in addition to just the massive transformation and disruption their business is going through, on the day-to-day, they're going through disruption of their own that we have to keep in mind at every interaction.
You bet. So as a marketer, right? And if you coach us with your marketing expertise, how can marketing help distributors, you know, during all this disruption that you're talking about, such as this global pandemic? What role should marketing be playing right now?
Well, it really depends not so much what marketing can do, but what can your business do for your customers? Marketing, everyone in your Love organization that. Should see themselves as marketing, because marketing, especially right now, is about every experience that your customers have with you. Your marketing department in your organization, they're going to help you amplify that. So whatever your true authentic message is on how you can help your customers right now, your marketing arm needs to be what helps to communicate that to your customers. And it has to be in different ways than we did even a couple of weeks ago.
Interesting. So what's different than a couple of weeks ago? How we communicate, the message that we communicate, how we reach out to them? I'm going to guess all the above, but I'd love your
thoughts. It's all of it. I know. It's obvious, but it's also not. You know, it sounds obvious as we're sitting here and we're talking theoreticals, but the channels that your customers want to hear from you is different than a couple of weeks ago. Every interaction you're having with your customers is different, and the message changes than it did even a few weeks ago. And it's even as basic as taking a look at what your we can call them marketing programs, but what is your message to the market and making sure that is receptive for the current time? Something as basic as looking at your website and seeing if it's a bunch of pictures of people hugging and interacting, you know, maybe that's not what we see anymore today.
Yeah. You know, did you see the, sorry, I'm going to digress. Did you see the online, the meme, somebody wanted to celebrate the mother's birthday, so she developed plastic sheet and arms behind so they could hug each other with plastic in between them. But yeah, to your point, right?
Yeah.
So how can we be going through a process right now, Caroline, to really get close to that customer, to really understand for this market, for that segment that we're going after, for the individuals that we're targeting, to really understand what's in their mind? That, you know, we talk about the voice of the customer, but I think it's probably even more than the voice of the customer. It's deeper than that. How do you go about figuring that out?
There's a couple of things. I mean, there's your traditional, you got to rethink who your customers are and look at what their challenges are today. That, as we're saying, it really are different than what they were even a few weeks ago. So that's part of your adjusting the message. Look at your website, look at your emails, look at your scripts of your customer service representatives. Are you doing a good job communicating the culture that you want to be putting out there and how you truly feel about wanting to help your customers, making sure that message is front and center? And then it's really about removing friction, removing any friction or any possible friction within your buying cycles. So just being helpful in that way of delivering what you want to deliver in a more seamless way. And sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to see, especially, you know, when we're not marketing professionals, when we're not sales professionals, you've got all these different silos of your business and you just kind of assume that all of them are working well together. And one of my favorite things that my husband and I do, because we fortunately worked from home before the pandemic, so this has been an ongoing thing, but now even more so, maybe others have more of an advantage, but we love to test each other's marketing out on one another. So I will think, because I'm in for it, and I think, of course, someone knows what I'm trying to communicate here, but I have him read my emails. I have him look at our website and our landing pages and try to understand where you're getting stuck. Because sometimes when you're in it day to day, it's hard for us to see. We're kind of blind to those friction points. So asking others, asking peers to check out new email campaigns you have, landing pages, even call in, try to talk to someone in customer service, ask your partner to do it if you've got your wife at home or your husband at home, and see if there's some stopping points you can help try to smooth out.
You know, that's really great. That's really a great thought, because, you know, now that you say it, it sounds obvious, but how often do we do that? How often do we intentionally develop a network to be able to do that, right?
And we all know, we all get, you know, right now I'm looking out at the horizon on the ocean, but sometimes you're in the forest of the trees and you can't see, you know, through that forest to see if your message in this case is correct or not. So let's go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, just even if you're not a big organization either, I mean, many of us on the line, I'm sure, could just be 3-4 people. Not all of us even have a marketing arm. One of the things that is also helpful to keep in mind is what are your customers actually looking for, and make sure that's the terminology that you're using. And it's, you know, not everyone has a website even, but if you do, something as simple as typing in your products in Keyword Planner. So in Google's Keyword Planner, and seeing the common phrases that come up along with your products to make sure that you're using that right message that people are searching for. And again, sounds basic, like Infor, we just did this the other day, ERP software, not nearly as high searched as ERP system. So it's about changing even the words you're using to be more readily available and make sure that it's clear what you're putting out into the market and what you offer.
Yeah, that's super cool. You know, I just literally an hour and a half ago read an article from McKinsey about optimizing revenue at this time. And the amount of time they spent on what you just said, right, to do that analytics in terms of keywords and like is critical. So thank you. So let's go to another buzzword that is out there since you love buzzwords so much, right? And all right, I do. And that's customer centricity. Oh my gosh. You know, I said on here, Caroline, a while ago that we're celebrating our, in September, we're going to celebrate our 50th anniversary as an organization, second generation. And my father, I think he was ahead of the curve back then when he talked about customer focus and customer centricity back then. And guess what? We're still talking about it. And so,
because we haven't fixed it yet. So we haven't, right?
Yes. Thank God for consultants, by the way. Shh, okay, don't tell anybody that. But so what does customer centricity mean to you? And then maybe why haven't we fixed it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really, customer centricity is two major components to it. One is really what are you delivering and making sure that when you're talking to your customers, you're not talking about yourself, you're talking about them and what their needs are. And it, again, sounds so basic, but the majority of businesses are not doing that, especially in their marketing organizations. We're really pushing out, here's what I want to sell, here's what I want to move the needle, here's what I need to go and make money, because that's what we're in the business of course, as opposed to looking for who needs my products, who needs my services, and being that for them and communicating not what you deliver, but what they get out of it. So it's a lot about how you're having those conversations. I mean, picture if you're at a dinner party, back when those existed, you know, how annoying was the guy in the room that just talked about himself the whole time, as opposed to the guy who brings you in and asks you about yourself. That's customer centricity in its basic form, is asking about your customers, not telling them about yourself. That's what it is from a marketing arm. And then when you do get a chance to talk, the bigger component is authenticity. And that's what we see so many businesses actually challenged with today more than ever. How can you be authentic in that message? When it is your turn to talk, how can you authentically deliver, here's the value that I can provide to you? And that's what's the biggest challenge in writing anything down to marketing communications, any conversation you have with a customer. That's where businesses still challenge.
So let's, if that's the biggest challenge, can we drill down on that a little bit? So authenticity, all right, authenticity. So help me understand that a little bit. Again, 30,000 foot view, it makes so much sense. But what does it mean, right? Authenticity, if I'm an electrical distributor, a plumbing distributor, a building material distributor, you know, does it mean that I'm, I'll stop. help me understand that a little bit.
What it means at the granular level is that every part of your organization, every employee understands the value that you're providing as a business. And that's where I think there's such a challenge is, you know, you can sit there and you know, you're maybe you have a manufacturing arm and you've got part of your warehouse operations. You got the guy down, you know, helping to actually manufacture your goods.
Yeah.
You understand what is actually going to be delivered in terms of value on the other end when that gets to your customers? Probably not, if we're being honest.
Right.
And that lies the challenge, is understanding what is the value that you're trying to deliver.
You know, you bring up something. I remember I got it on my computer here. You know, when Steve Jobs came back to Apple, right? When he came up with the Think Different campaign, I can see him in his shorts in front of the leadership team of Apple, talking about, you know, we spend all this money on advertising and nobody knows who we are, right? Because we've got to stop talking. His words, I can see him saying, we got to stop talking about speeds and feeds, and we've got to talk about our customers, right? And I think that's what you're saying. We've got to find, is it a discipline? Is it a desire? Is it an art? Is it a science? What is that ability? What's the magic sauce, that ability to be able to talk to the customer at that level that really pulls them in?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the biggest challenge that everyone has is that it is a combination again, but we have to relearn how we sell. Because really, everyone came up in more of the, all right, I've got a product, there has to be a market for it. So if I just go talk about how great my product is, someone will want it. As opposed to thinking about, what value can I deliver to the market? And where do I really play in the needs of my customers? Yeah. And it's more than an art. It's relearning even how your business functions and really centering everything around, what do I deliver as a company?
Yeah. You know, so let me go in a couple different ways. Do you mind? That authenticity, I really love that too. And I think it's something, and maybe I'm just looking in the mirror, but I think it's something that we all need to think deeper and harder about. And, you know, if I'm honest with myself, my mentor, you know, my father, one of the things he told us from, you know, his day is never overexpose yourself. Never overexpose yourself to your employees or your customers. And he always told the story, you know, why do you think the Army has officer tents? It's so that you don't overexpose yourself, right? And maybe that worked back then, right? But I don't think that flies today. You know, Caroline, honestly, 10 years ago, maybe 20 years, even if I was here in Alvarado, you would not have seen me dressed like this, right? I would have been in the blues IBM suit, the tie, the white shirt and all that, but that's not who I am. Don't tell anybody, right? And so, yeah, again, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I think we gotta.
No, but you're hitting on a really good point from a leadership perspective. And it is, and the book is escaping me, and I apologize. I'll have to send it to you so you can send around as an example. But there's an incredible book on authenticity from a leadership perspective that touches on exactly that. And when you're being sincere about looking at customer marketing and really how you interact with customers, you have to be vulnerable. And that's something that leaders struggle with today, is that willingness to be vulnerable and to really test out the way you do things and challenge the way you do things. And you're right. Much of the leadership of yesterday was, okay, I got to be the smartest guy in the room. I can say, I sincerely don't think I've ever been the smartest guy in the room since I got to Infor. And yet here we are, you know, and it's because you have to have that willingness to try out new things and to listen to new ideas. And that includes your customers. You have to be willing to listen to them and get feedback from them and take that and apply it to your business model. And that's a new way of leading.
Beautiful. I love it, Caroline. So those of you that are on, if you weren't with us last Sunday, if you weren't with us when Rick Phantom, the CEO of Hajoka, was on, one of the questions he got at the very end, Caroline, was how do you align people, right, in this time? And it caught him off guard. And he thought about it. And in that authentic, vulnerable moment, Rick Phantom, an amazing CEO, after about 30 seconds of thinking it through on video, he said, you know, I've got to stop being the smartest guy in the room. I have to reach out and pull in from everybody else. So I don't want, if you didn't, if you weren't there for that call, and if what Caroline is saying to you, make sure you go to the replay page and watch Rick Anthems, okay? So you talked about testing, Caroline, as part of this, right? And so can you share with us, you know, if I want to be sure that my message is not only resonating now, but as I'm starting to identify how the customer is changing, how the customer's needs, wants, desires, the outcomes they're looking for are changing, how do I, as an organization or as a marketing sales team, how do I get out there and start testing my marketing and sales message to ensure that A, I'm being authentic, B, it's resonating, and it's speaking to the customer about the customer?
I mean, testing it will ultimately be talking to your customers and getting feedback from them. But before you do that, you have to have something to show them. So the best way, and it's a traditional model, but marketers build personas. And it's something that you can't build once at the beginning of when you're rolling out a new product or service and think this is my persona into perpetuity, because we're ultimately people. You're selling to people no matter whether you're B2B or B2C. And people have different needs. They grow and change. So it's about writing a message. And it starts as simple as a statement. So look at, okay, here is my product that I want to deliver. Here's my service that I want to deliver. Now, what does my customer actually need? And try practicing, instead of focusing any statements on your product benefits, focusing on the benefits that will come to the customer. And just encourage every employee to practice, hey, what is a statement, not of what this delivers, but of what the value that you actually get out of it? What are the benefit statements? And then take those to your customers. Take them to your top customers. We at Infor, we have community councils, literally industry councils of our customers. And they are 100% for us to get feedback from them on our message and positioning the market and on the products that we deliver. You need that. You cannot guess. You need that direct customer feedback.
I love it. Thanks. So let's go to the start of what you said. You talked about personas. For those of us that may know of it, but you know, aren't really applying those, right? Tell me what a persona is, and maybe even, can you share with, so we can tangibly see it, maybe even share with us a persona that Infor has of a customer that I can get my arms around.
Yeah, of course. So a persona at basic level is who is your ideal customer. So who's the most common customer for us in the B2B world? We typically look at customers by industry and by their role within an organization, because that's how you can really drill down to their specific needs. So, you know, an example, we have personas for ERP software around IT as well as finance. And depending on who you're talking to, you're going to have really different benefits, because that's what you should be leading with, is benefits that you should be speaking to. So if I were just to go and say, hey, here's the software, and talk about all these cool software, unique benefits, that's talking about me. That's not talking about them. But if I look at, okay, with IT, it's about innovation and speeding innovation cycles, and it's about connectivity. With its finance, it's actually going to be about reducing overhead costs, and it's going to be about connection of systems in an integrated way and frictionless invoices. You know, it really changes the benefits you even talk about, and therefore your entire efforts, based on what they need as individual people, because we all are individual people and have different needs.
You bet. I love it. So Paul, Rachie, CEO of Ceratec, a flooring distributor up in Canada, he says they define their persona as the free-spirited expert. Is that right, Paul? Yeah. So there you go, right? So, yeah, cool. All right. So personas, is it difficult to put a persona together? And how would you put a persona together?
No, I mean, there's all sorts of templates and stuff online, but ultimately all a persona is trying to give you a model for creating a customer-centric message. So really, at its basic form, building a persona is creating those value statements. What are the challenges that my customers are facing, and what are the benefits that I can help them to realize? And having that be the message you lead with in every interaction, you know, not just marketing on your website or emails, but that needs to be how you treat people at the customer service level. Your sales team needs to take that same message. Your executives need to adopt that message. And it should be universal. These are the benefits that we deliver. And here's the challenges our customers are facing. And this is all we should be talking about. We shouldn't talk about anything else except for that.
Caroline, I love it. You know, when I talk about value propositions in front of groups, you know, one of the statements I often say is that we're stuck in a world of sameness. Everybody's head starts shaking. Yes. And then I say, you know what? Your employees would be challenged to be able to communicate to the customers why they should buy from you. There's a bunch of alternatives. They can buy the same building materials somewhere else, right? But they'd be challenged to communicate why they can buy from you. And now what you've just helped me understand is maybe it's because we haven't gone through the discipline of what you've just said, right? Developing these personas.
Well, and it's also disruption, to be honest. I mean, the value that you deliver versus your competitors, it's getting more narrow by the day. I love Mint Jutras. Yeah. She wrote, Cindy Jutras of Mint Jutras, she wrote this incredible article. I can share it later, but it talking about the fact that the Amazon effect has really changed the expectation of your customers. So you can't really compete on delivery anymore and time to value because the time to value expectation is immediate. So There is one form of competitive differentiation that we all had. And you don't really want to focus on competing on price because then you're really all just driving each other's margins down as an industry. So you have to think of other ways that you can deliver value to your customers. That's why you see so many distribution and manufacturing companies adding services, and they, you know, the value added services component of what can I help to deliver most of the time at no cost to my customers to help differentiate what I'm offering compared to my competitors.
You bet. So what are some of the ways that you're seeing distributors becoming more customer centric and delivering those types of outcomes that the customers are really after?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on the business model. You see a lot of distributors adding services like repairs, but it could be as basic, you know, if you're not a massive enterprise organization who can't build out these new arms of operations, it could be as basic as looking at your customer, how you engage with your customers. So what's your customer service department like, and how can you maybe reduce some points of friction there? Maybe adding some more functionality to your website to allow your customers to get in contact with you a little bit easier. It's about removing friction and adding value in any place you can to the best of your ability.
Cool. I love it. Thanks. So I have a question that I want to bring to you. It's technology-based, not marketing, customer centricity-based. But so before I go to that question, we only got about three minutes or so. What did I not ask you, Caroline, that you are just so damn passionate about, you know, marketing and customer obsession? Because I know you are just absolutely passionate about this topic, customer obsession.
For me, and I was thinking about this earlier, you know, as a marketer, marketer of a manufacturing company, what I think has been the biggest thing I've learned during, you know, the most recent disruption we're all going through of this global pandemic is it's not about being the loudest. It's about saying the right thing. And sometimes it's a challenge for us to figure out what is the value that I'm delivering right now. But don't go to market with any message if you're not sure it's the right one. And we've seen a couple fails, you know, it was a couple snafus of companies that are trying to go to market right now around the pandemic and offer a message of authenticity, but it's not coming off that way because they're not delivering that value or they don't have the right message of value. So I would just caution, and something we've learned is you really have to wait sometimes to deliver the right message as opposed to just trying to be reactive and push something out, which we see so many do right now.
Interesting. Now, let me gain some clarity on something, because we talked about the importance of experimenting and testing. And I assume that is even testing messages. And now here you said, right, don't go to the market with the wrong message. So help me tie those things together.
Yeah. I guess what you can never be afraid of is if you're saying something with that true authenticity, there shouldn't be any fear of bringing a message to market, you know, but if you're not going to market with authenticity, if you're just going off of speed reaction, then yes, you have to be very reserved in your testing. But that's where customers, creating a unique community of customers and bouncing those ideas off of customers, friends, your wife in the other room, those can all help you before you push something too far.
Yeah, you bet. Caroline, thank you. You know, as you're talking, I think about the times, and I'm going to ask, because I tell this story, I'm going to ask the people that are listening to us if they can relate to this. You know, I know that there are times because of the reactionary nature, and then you said something else, I forget. But then also there's the economic pressure of business, right? That sometimes, and you got to go out there and make something happen, right? And I know that, pardon my language, it sucks. When I've been in that position and I, you know, I deep down in my gut, I know what I'm doing is not right, because it's not being authentic. It's internally motivated rather than customer motivated. And so real quick, and I know we got to go here, but how often does the gut lead your decision as well? Is that a fair question?
It is a fair question. And, you know, us marketers, we're creative. So we do allow our gut to influence things for sure. But if your gut reaction is just speed, and especially as a business owner that you're trying to keep the lights on. I mean, yeah, you want to be authentic, but at the end of the day, you have to sell something. The best way to do that is by removing that friction. So even if what you're bringing to market isn't the highest value right now, you know, you're not making N95s, you're delivering not even toilet paper, you're down the paper towel level. But if you're delivering that in a way that's easy for your customers, then that is authentic, whether it's their number one priority or their fifth. If you're helping them get what you deliver faster, more effectively, and in a smoother process, then you are going to be that priority, and you are going to still succeed as a business.
I love it. Caroline, everything you just shared with us over the last 30 minutes, we could go on for a lot longer, has provided us a lot of great insights and wisdom to be able to get out there in that customer-centric manner to really understand, right? And I think it's more important than ever, because the customer is changing and we've got to be listening. We've got to be understanding who they are, and at the same time, understand who we are and bring that authenticity together. So Caroline, this has been absolutely amazing. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for listening. Continue your shift to tomorrow by visiting us at unleashwd.com to access free resources, including additional podcasts, white papers, webinars, and our weekly newsletter, Unleash Your Week. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd also appreciate you reviewing our show with a 5-star review in the Apple Podcast app. Until next time, keep your eyes on the horizon, keep innovating, and shift to tomorrow.